Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today's show is the final segment in our mini-series on business planning. Earlier this week, we talked about the company mission, the 10-year plan, the 3-year plan, and the 1-year plan. Then we talked about the quarterly plan. We talked about how we then translate the quarterly plan into weekly execution of our goals and objectives. If this sounds like a lot of work, well, it really is. Underpinning all of this is attracting the right people into the right roles in the organization. When a company is small, and even in situations in large companies, we often see people performing tasks that are not necessarily leveraging their inherent strengths. In some cases, people are playing way out of position and performing tasks that they're really not well suited to. It's always possible for people to grow within a role, but at best, you're going to turn a weakness into a competency. You're never going to really turn that into a strength. To make sure we match people's strengths and engage their energy and motivation, we really need to look at what people are doing in their roles and adjust the resource allocation of work. This exercise identifies the gaps in the organization, and it also plans our next hires. We use a 4-quadrant classification called Elevate and Delegate. You can think of 4 quadrants. In quadrant 1, there are those tasks and activities that you love to do, you are fantastic at, and make the company tons of money. In quadrant 2 are the things that you're good at and that you like to do, but you don't love them. You're just good at them and you like them. In quadrant 4, we have the things that you're really not good at all and you don't like to do. You might do them out of a sense of professional responsibility, but if you're not being asked to do them, you wouldn't otherwise choose to. And then in quadrant 3, there are those things that you're good at, but you don't really like to do. It's really the catch-all for everything else that doesn't fit into quadrants 1, 2, or 4. The art form to perform at a high level is to get rid of those quadrant 4 activities so that you can focus more of your time and energy in quadrants 1, 2, and 3. Then the next step is to get rid of your quadrant 3 activities so you're only playing to your strengths and to your motivation. When we say get rid of, what that really means is assigning those quadrant 3 and quadrant 4 activities to other people for whom your quadrant 3 or quadrant 4 is their quadrant 1 or quadrant 2 activity. For example, my specialty is absolutely not accounting and bookkeeping. I mean, I can do it, and I certainly have done it, but I don't like it. Fortunately, we have a person inside our organization who is the CFO and the financial controller. In fact, they're even a CPA. I hope that what would be quadrant 4 activity for me is at least their quadrant 2, if not quadrant 1. So we took this tool and went consistently around the table examining the activities in each of the 4 quadrants for the attendees at the quarterly meeting. And then we took the time to take note of the things that were outside quadrants 1 and 2. We talked about the skill gaps where we have people playing out of position, but we also talked about bench depth. Bench depth is critical in a sustainable business. It's what allows someone to take a couple of weeks of vacation without the business grinding to a halt. Or if, God forbid, someone gets sick, we have a responsibility to our investors, indeed to all of our stakeholders, to keep the business moving forward in a positive direction. And even when someone's out, for whatever reason, we can't have the A team out and leave the C team behind in charge. Bench depth means having fully competent people in both the prime and alternate roles of any given function. For example, we have 3 people in the company that are highly skilled in underwriting. So if someone's doing underwriting work, they have to be fully competent. The next exercise we've taken the team through is the Myers-Briggs Personality Type Analysis. This tool determines character preferences along 4 different axes. That defines 16 unique character types, and by understanding our character preferences of our peers, we can foster more effective teamwork. The tool evaluates you along the axes of introvert versus extrovert, sensing versus intuitive, thinking versus feeling, and judging versus perceptive. Now, these character preferences, there's no right or wrong, it's just a preference. It's what you're really, what's deeply ingrained in you. But in most people, these character references run so deep, you can almost think of them like a unique language. The notion is to work on your leadership team as a team and develop a deeper understanding of each member of the team. The biggest difference is along the axis of sensing versus intuitive. Sensing people are very grounded. They just want the facts. They're not interested in philosophy or theory or anything like that. They just want the facts. On the other hand, Intuitive people don't want to be bored with the details. They want to know the concept. They want to know how things are working in theory. The practice is really just an exercise for the reader. So these are two very valuable skills that are a strength in one setting and a liability in another. You need both in an organization. But getting a sensing person to do strategy work is going to be a misfit, and getting an intuitive person to balance your checkbook, that's going to be a misfit as well. Those are completely different types of mental activities, and they don't necessarily match the work at hand. So this is the kind of work that we go through to really understand the strengths and weaknesses of the team members, not just from the point of view of what they say they like, but really understand what their inherent character preferences will tell us about the types of tasks that they're really best suited to. So each quarter, we take a portion of the meeting and dedicate that to working on the team, working on strengthening our understanding of one another, and developing our skills as leaders and as managers. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.